Companies that like their auditors may get to keep them.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It's sort of like rotating out prison guards to make sure they don't get too chummy with the inmates. Why not force corporations to change auditors once in a while? Well, the House of Representatives thinks it's A-OK to keep the same auditor as long as a company wants and has just voted to ban any rule that would force rotating oversight of companies' books. Marketplace's Noel King is here with details. Morning, Noel.
Good morning.
So what happened?
Well, the House voted in favor of a bill that would ban the idea of mandatory auditor rotation. Now, what that means is that public companies would have to routinely change accountants to make sure their accountants aren't getting too cozy with the companies they're supposed to be auditing. Some of these company auditor relationships have been maintained for more than a century. The idea was proposed by an accounting oversight group that was created in the aftermath of the Enron and WorldCom scandals to strengthen the U.S. accounting system. Remember, one of the big issues with both Enron and WorldCom was that auditors for those firms were accused of failing to report weaknesses in the company's financial statements. Mandatory rotation was supposed to help end that sort of thing.
So, a bill that said essentially, please don't make us rotate auditors. Who was lobbying in favor?
Well, David, there was some real muscle here. Organizations from the Chamber of Commerce to the American Institute of CPAs and companies like Viacom, Safeway, FedEx, they all came out against the proposal. Their argument is that it's unworkable. They say, look, there's only a handful of accounting firms that have the expertise to do the books for large companies. And if you force this, companies are going to spend a lot of time getting a new accounting firm up to speed every couple years. That's going to waste time and money.
And now the U.S. Senate will take a crack at this. Marketplace's Noel King, thank you.
Thank you.
The health of the economy is tightly linked to America's intellectual property. The Commerce Department says IP accounts for about 35% of economic output and 60% of exports. But hackers and electronic pirates, many of them working overseas, would like to steal that bounty. There's a congressional hearing today looking at ways to stop them, as Shannon Mullen reports.
America's reliance on information technology these days is unprecedented, and so is the threat of cyber attacks targeting our intellectual property.
We are losing somewhere between $300 and $500 billion a year.
Former Washington Senator Slade Gorton is testifying at today's hearing. He's now a member of the Commission on the Theft of American Intellectual Property. His group says China is 50 to 80% of the problem, and some U.S. companies have brought lawsuits there. But corporations aren't really set up for counterintelligence. Microsoft, Cisco, Hewlett-Packard, and others are backing a new global standard to try to secure their IT supply chains. Jason Healy heads the Cyber Statecraft Initiative at the Atlantic Council.
Overwhelmingly, the companies are looking at defense. So that means they're looking to improve the security of their systems and kick the bad guys out.
And Healy says more companies are now telling their shareholders about big security breaches instead of passing them off to the IT guys. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Here's news you don't expect from the publishing world. Sales are up at bookstores, not all bookstores, as chains like Borders have closed and Barnes & Noble is hurting to the point that the CEO quit. And there's news today the company could be broken up and sold off. But industry numbers show that sales in independent Christian bookstores grew nearly 9% last year. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
The family-owned bookstore Beacon of Hope is also a beacon of air-conditioned refreshment on a July day in Springfield, Ohio. The cafe's blender is cranking out ice-cold coffee drinks. Linda Sandoval is a regular visitor for liquid and spiritual nourishment. She likes the selection, the live events, the atmosphere, and especially the devoted staff.
Honest, I'm not getting paid for this interview, but I love the people who work there. I just respect them so much for what they do.
That connection, she feels, is why sales at Christian stores like this one add up to around $5 billion a year. Manager Aaron Kastein cultivates strong community ties by creating an extension of church meeting rooms.
We have a lot of Bible studies. A lot of church groups have come in, and to a point where they sometimes ask if they can schedule a time slot to get in because it can sometimes be crowded.
Steady crowds mean more sales, and these days it's about more than just Bibles, explains market researcher Ron Sellers.
One of the things that Christian bookstores have done over the years is they've expanded beyond Christian bookstores.
They're also selling Christian genre fiction, self-help, and history, and not just books, also Christian movies, which are exploding with higher quality production and Hollywood stars. At Rainbow Shop in Bismarck, North Dakota, Christian-themed greeting cards, toys, and DVDs are all big business, says owner Matt Mitzel.
Our gift line has done tremendous. It's really hard to buy gifts online. People like to see their gifts, and they like to feel them.
Christian retailers also tend to gain customers in tough economic times. Curtis Risky is president of the Association for Christian Retail.
People tend to turn toward God, and certainly our stores have been there with God's Word and the Bible and the wisdom that it holds.
And they're showing wisdom of their own in convincing the faithful to shop local. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And workplaces that want employees to get in sync have been known to send the team out ice climbing or whitewater rafting. What about starting a choir? Researchers in Sweden have found that people in a choir don't just sing together. They get so in sync that their heart rates begin to match. Now that's team building. Researchers are now studying whether singing with a choir might also reduce blood pressure and stress. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.